Hello and welcome to the Authority of Love. This is another great Family Foundation Friday, and you're listening to us on WJMM 99.1 FM. I know you probably already know that, but that's Central Kentucky's Christian Radio. And as always on our Family Foundation Friday, we welcome Executive Director of the Family Foundation, Mr. David Walls. David, thanks again, brother.
Greg, good to be with you on a special early voting edition of Family Foundation
very
Friday.
Very good. And you're right. There are some people already casting votes, right?
That's right.
We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk about, and that's in the primary election.
Primary.
Coming up next Tuesday. But we're also going to talk about an interesting development in the SB 150 legislation on the legal side. So remember, you can find these at WJMM.com. Click the podcast tab and the Love and Lordship links, and you find today's and the previous 2 days. Or you can go to loveandlordship.com. That's Love and Lordship, all spelled out and together, .com. And you can find these and many other podcast videos and articles. Encourage you to do that and touch base with me at loveandlordship@gmail.com. Loveandlordship@gmail.com. Love your questions to engage with you. And I know David would the same. David, how can they touch base with you? And then we'll get back into the weeds here.
Yeah, as always, KentuckyFamily.org is our website. And you and I will be talking about an important voter guide website that we manage during election seasons. And that website is VoteKentucky.us.
Yes, VoteKentucky.us. It's an excellent one. And there's some more we're going to talk about. Yeah. Before I do anything else, I got to say this. Next Tuesday is the 16th of May, which is not only Election Day, but even more importantly for us and our family, is my middle child, my youngest son's birthday. So I got to shout out happy birthday to Harrison. Love you, brother. And thank you for the opportunity to be a loving dad, because you've been great, as well as my older son and my daughter. So it's been wonderful. Happy birthday, Harrison. With that said, David, I know we want to start with this primary election, and there's several things. Give a brief explanation of what primary means, and maybe even a little bit on closed and open.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Greg, as you already shared, so we're got a primary election. So right. Next Tuesday is primary election day. So there will be both on the Republican and Democrat side, though they're independent elections,
who will represent them?
Yeah.
Right?
So yep, essentially, yep, and this is essentially a constitutional officer election year here in Kentucky. So you've got the governor will be up, the Secretary of State, Attorney General, auditor. Right. I'm going to forget one or two of them.
All the constitutional,
the constitutional officers, right, treasurer, right, commissioner of agriculture, and so forth. So those offices are up, and what will be decided on Tuesday of next week, Greg, is essentially who is the nominees for each of the parties heading into the November general election, when those races will be decided. But you know, I just like to remind folks: look, primary elections are primary. They are very, very important. This is, as we said, a constitutional year. You know, it'll be next year when we'll have the legislative offices and House and Senate and other races up. But you know, so many times, Greg, a lot of these races get determined by who is on the ballot in November.
Yeah.
There'll be essentially statewide offices on the ballot this year. But a lot of times, if we're talking about state legislative races, you know, a lot of times it'll be a very heavily Republican district, or in some cases a heavily Democrat district. So a lot of times, you know, your vote on primary election day can be the most important vote that you have the opportunity to cast in terms of determining who represents you in each elective office.
And the general election will be in November coming up.
Yeah,
and then we'll decide the offices. Yeah. But this is the first step.
And Kentucky is, you know, unique in kind of having one of the off year periods in 2023. There's not a lot of other states that have their statewide offices elected. But we just wanted to, you know, take an opportunity to remind folks, obviously, about the importance of getting out and voting. Right. As we mentioned, or I may have plugged it at the setup of the show, there is a early voting period that's ongoing right now. So it started yesterday. It's today on Friday, and then Saturday, those 3 days, and then Election Day will be next Tuesday.
And where can they find out?
Yeah,
where they can do that.
Yeah,
how they
if
can
you
do that.
Go to elect.ky.gov, again, elect.ky.gov, or you can probably just Google your polling location in Kentucky. That is a website the state has that essentially has all the polling locations of every county. So you can click on your county, and then you can see some of the early voting locations and the election day locations.
Right.
All that
right.
information is listed there. And I know, Greg, we cover more than just Fayette County,
right,
but,
right.
but here
give
we're,
an idea.
We're sitting right now in Fayette County.
Yes.
So the early voting, there's one single early voting location, I believe, here in Fayette County, and it's actually Kroger Field.
It's well known. Right?
Yes. Pretty prominent location.
Yeah.
So I believe all the in-person early voting is taking place at Kroger Field. And then, of course, there'll be a lot of other voting locations on election day. But just look, an important reminder, we're blessed to live in this Commonwealth, to live in this nation, and have an opportunity, a responsibility. Ultimately, we know that the Lord has blessed us with to have a say in who represents
yes.
us. And the primary
At
elections
least for now, David.
Play
yeah.
the primary
we'll pray.
Elections
we'll pray.
play a very important role in that. And you know, folks are probably seeing right now a lot of television ads. You know,
yes.
particularly on the Republican side of things, you've got a lot of activity. You've got something like 12 candidates
yeah.
that are actually all on the ballot, trying to be the nominee that would eventually challenge Governor Beshear. I know technically Governor Beshear, I think, may have an opponent, a Democrat primary opponent, but we kind of know how that's going to go.
Right.
So it's really, you know, up for grabs. Who's going to be the Republican nominee that's going to run against Governor Beshear? You know, you've got a number of the other statewide constitutional officers are running in
yes.
that race. So
yes.
you've got our sitting Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, is running. You've got Mike Harmon, who is our... currently our auditor,
right.
our agriculture commissioner, Ryan Quarles, is running in the primary
right.
for that seat. There are others, you know, Kelly Kraft has run a pretty notable campaign, former ambassador under President Trump. So there's, you know, pretty high profile folks
yes.
running in
yes.
that race, and you're probably seeing a lot of ads. And so I'll just plug again, we, in partnership with iVoter Guide, which is a Christian voter guide, if you go to votekentucky.us, you can look at the Kentucky version of the iVoter Guide and get a lot of good information
yes.
on the candidates running for governor.
Yeah, yeah. David, I'm looking at it right now, and you can get just a little brief update on them. And one of the things I know, the Family Foundation is a Christian and conservative value, so you
right.
can see that pretty quickly where they stand.
You can.
With regard to what you guys
can.
And us, we stand
and
for,
and then you
right?
can click on each of them. And the great thing about iVoter Guide is they collect a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
They look, if they previously served in some kind of legislative office where they have a voting record, a lot of that information will be pulled in. They pull in information. As far as, you know, if different organizations, we don't endorse candidates, but if other organizations on left or
right
have endorsed
right.
them, notable folks have endorsed them,
mm-hmm.
Including, they also look at, campaign contributions. They look at who they've received money
right.
from, who they've given money to a lot
yeah.
of times. And a lot of these things help kind of
They're
paint
telling.
A picture
yes.
For
yes.
where a candidate stands. So again, just encourage folks to go to votekentucky.us, click to see the Kentucky iVoter Guide, and like I said, a lot of important races will be
yeah.
Decided
yeah.
In terms of who will be on the ballot in November.
That's very good. And one other thing, in Kentucky, as opposed to Texas, we have a closed primary, which means you are voting, if you're Republican or Democrat registered, you
right,
vote in
right.
those
you
primaries
gotta be, yeah.
rather than open, and you can vote wherever and however you want.
Right.
And
there's some pluses and minuses
that's
between
right.
different
and
states.
Cons. That's right.
And the other important thing to folks may be more aware of this or more up to speed on this, but, you know, Kentucky does not have runoff elections.
Right.
So, Greg,
right.
as you mentioned, you know, I'm originally from Texas. In Texas, for example, you've got this 12-person on the Republican side running for governor.
Right.
Whoever gets the most votes
that's right.
Is
that's
the nominee.
Right. Yep.
In other states, sometimes if no one gets to the 50% threshold, it'll go to a runoff election
yep.
Until someone gets to 50. That's not the case
yep.
here. So we
one
will
time.
Know.
One time.
Hopefully
yes.
they count the votes.
Yes.
We will know.
right.
At some point, the evening of the 16th. Or shortly thereafter, who the nominees are
right.
in all these races,
right.
even if someone doesn't get over 50%.
Right. Well, so primary election, early voting. Dave has told you where you can go at votekentucky.us and the iVoter Guide. Also, on next Tuesday, make sure you know where your polling place is, and you can go cast your vote for that. David, we've got another issue. We've got a little bit here, and I want to tease this a little bit and talk about it a little bit because it is extremely important. And that is, we've had a interesting but not surprising development legally against SB 150. Share with our listeners what that is.
Yeah, Greg, last week the ACLU filed a lawsuit against SB 150. And if folks remember, that was kind of the priority pro-family bill that dealt with parental rights in education, setting common sense bathroom policies, and then also protecting our children from these very harmful so-called sex change interventions that are harming our children. And so the ACLU went into federal court, and they have filed an initial challenge against just the part of the bill that protects children from so-called gender transition interventions. And so they had kind of already indicated that they were going to do this, but you know, and I know, Greg, this will be a case that will probably go on for a good while, but that part of the bill is obviously fundamentally important. Yes. And as you and I will have an opportunity to discuss as this court case develops, very revealing the filing in this court case. And we won't go into a whole lot of depth here, but what has happened is the ACLU filed this challenge really on behalf of seven families and some specifics as it relates to some kids. And it, Greg, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's
children scary. As young as 9 years old, as documented in here, that are being pushed to do something that you and I, again, as we've said, is not possible, change their biological sex, being put on puberty blockers to block puberty,
their natural development.
Development. This is harmful interventions that are taking place. And as we said, when some media reached out when this lawsuit was filed, you know, we said if you read the details that the ACLU shared on some of these cases, it really just reinforces why we needed to protect our kids from these harmful so-called gender transition interventions to begin with. We have a moral obligation and a duty to not have a child harmed in this manner. And really what's been brought to light in this court filing is just another example that kids right now in the Commonwealth of Kentucky are being harmed and pushed down a
manipulated,
had these really just evil medical interventions that are being done on them, and we have an obligation to protect them. So we'll see how this court case develops. We're going to be watching this very, very closely.
David, a couple things I'll add as we close today. Number one, you talked about, and we'll talk about it more, they didn't go after the surgical side. They went after the hormones, the pills, the different thing, or the shots, things like that, the blockers. But they know if you get on that side, you've already stepped over the line. Scientifically, you cannot change your gender. So either way, they're going after it. And they know if they crack the door open, they can get further. So that's one thing. I'm glad you're standing against that along with others. The other part of this is that there are many things in our laws that are there to protect children. We don't let children drive until they're 16. We don't let them vote until they're 18. There are many other drink until they're 21. Why? Because they're not ready to make those kind of decisions. So we're trying to help them as well as parents. So a lot coming up. Please join us. Thank you for those. I prayed last week at the National Day of Prayer, a week before last, the National Day of Prayer. And several people came up to me, David, and said, hey, you do that Family Foundation podcast with Dave Walls. And I said, yes. One of them was actually Daniel Cameron's mom.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. So thank you all. Thanks for joining us. I got no more here. So thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day. And God bless in Christ. Stay tuned for Bill Reeser and Encounter. And then at 1245, Greg Horn and Hope is here. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.